Funny how I forget to unmute, you know, when I start talking. I think I do nearly every time. I guess it's because we see each other. I feel like, you know, you should be able to hear me too. but hey, everybody, and welcome to Gentle Healing Year 3. Before I jump in, hey, Lynn, is there anyone here who has something they would like to share from the last week of Gentle Healing? Well, I just want to say that for me, reading your journals has become a very contemplative practice. When I, hey, Jay, where are you, Jay? Well, no, don't answer. You're driving. Ignore me. he's clearly not at home. Like, where in La Vida do you have to go in a car? That's what I want to know. he must have gone to Pueblo or something. I find when I read your journals that my heart blows wide open, just like it does when I'm doing my own straight contemplation. You guys are doing a fabulous job, and I just, I don't know, I feel honored to be among a group of such dedicated people. Who are doing this at least nearly every day. I mean, I think maybe everybody misses some days, right? Nancy says she doesn't miss days. Yeah.
it's way too difficult to catch up. So no more missing days. If I don't, I don't necessarily post every day, but I try to do all of the posts. Yeah.
Well, and again, if you do have to miss some days, remember I also said you don't have to catch up. That would be up to you. You could just start where we are because I don't want anybody feeling under any pressure. But yeah, I can tell that you know, there's a group of you, 20 or 25 of you. I haven't actually counted, but it's usually at least two pages, sometimes 2.5 pages in the form that I read. I don't know how many are on a page. I would guess around 10. So it's 20 to 25 of you that are being really pretty consistent. And I just deeply appreciate that. And I can see the progress you're making already in your contemplations. I can see the depth. Tonight we're going to be looking at my journal, but that's not because your journals aren't wonderful. They are. And I think you can probably tell from my comments exactly when I'm touched. But there were just some things in my journal as I was looking at my journal this week that I thought maybe it would be good for us to go and look at. So let me share my screen. Oh, you know what? I have to grab my book. I'm in La Vida, and my mom's here now. So it's a little different. I'm not alone. Yeah, that changes the dynamics. And I just finished cooking us dinner and doing dishes. And so I'm not quite as organized. I don't have my book out. Let me grab it real quick. And my mom's going to be here for the next 7 weeks, I think she said. So all the way until nearly the end of July. So the dynamics change again. They're always changing, aren't they? That will change how I be here, you know, having her around. But it's nice to be with her. I haven't seen much of her in 36 years. And so now that we have this condo in La Vida, we get to see each other a little more. It's nice. All right, so let me go ahead and share my screen. Hi, Cheryl. Are you saying hi to my mom or me? My mom. Yeah. So I've marked the ones that I want to go and look at in my journal. So we're going to start with 366. So let's look at that quote from the Seven Steps to Awakening first. It is the mind that creates the body with all its limbs. I think it's funny, with all its limbs. Mind itself is both sentient, is both the sentient and the insentient beings. All this endless diversity is nothing but mind. So that's 366. So let's just go see why I thought we wanted to look at my journal. Because just sitting here, you know, I don't remember. And sometimes I select stuff when I'm all hot with contemplation. And then I come here, I'm like, why did I pick that? In the moment, it was like, whoa, it was so hot. All right, so number 366. What senses the world? What sees, hears, smells, tastes, and touches? What interacts with the world and verifies the world is real? Isn't it the body? But if the body itself is imagination, can it verify reality? Wouldn't imagination mistake imagination? You know, wouldn't like mistake like, or same mistake the same as real? Doesn't mind validate mind? And I can see why I picked this, because this is the type of contemplation we left off with at the end of last week. Nancy, I don't know, we started, I don't know if you know, because you came in a little late last week, but we started last week looking at your journal.
Yeah, I did listen to the recording, and this contemplation that you just read reminds me of what I wrote and also what I talked about last time.
Yes, which I just read today, you know, what you talked about the time before, yes. But I read in your journal just today something very similar again.
Oh, okay.
Right, because you just wrote something very similar again about this in the last two or three days.
A closed system?
Let me see if I can go pull up your journal. Let's just go do it. Let's go look.
Yeah. You said something like the mind confirms mind, and it seems similar to me to what I wrote about it being a closed loop or a closed system. I don't remember exactly what I wrote, though.
Well, let's see what I read today that I thought was on this same... Oh, I got to log in, don't I? That I thought was on this same vein. And we'll just look at this, because I think this is really important stuff to look at. Critically important, in fact. And I love the way that you're looking at it. There you are. Again, you guys can't see what I'm dealing with here, but I have your pick. Oh, no, where'd it go? Where did that go?
That's weird.
That's weird. I've never had two windows open up like that, separate windows.
Do you want me to get it and read it?
No, I'm getting it. It's just I don't want to lose your picture either. I'm trying to have my cake and eat it too. Like if I minimize the pictures, then I can see my screen better. So this is all my fault. Sort of trying to have everything. All right, so let's look down here where it was. I probably commented on it. Excellent clarity at number 370. I wonder if this is it. The physical body must be the fruit of and interdependent of the mind because of the nature of its creation. I'm going to have to minimize you. I can't read this. It seems to exist within a closed system whereby it can only know itself through a physical circuitry of sensory nerves. In other words, the body experiences the body through the body. Yeah, this is it. It's a trick of the mind. If one imagines the senses being entirely gone, the body goes missing. There is no body. However, there is existence. Completely uncovered in plain sight, known without the senses, known without a body mind. Existence is known without a body mind. The body is gone and the self is, which exists, which is real. So yeah, we were both talking about the same one. So that is very much like this contemplation of mind that we're looking at right now. And let me bring that back. And this is where we really looked at last week as well. And I want to bring you guys back. I don't know how once I've minimized you. Wait, here we go. Because it's kind of boring talking to myself. Okay, there, I got you back. So what I remember is when I was contemplating this myself back in April of 2012, I remember playing games. You guys know I'm big on games. And I would play games like picking up this glass of water, which is actually cold. I just got it out of the refrigerator. And I would feel the cold. And I would notice right away that the mind says, you know, I feel the cold. But then I checked to see if that was true. And I would close my eyes. And I would look to see what this experience actually is. And as I looked very carefully to notice what this experience actually is, I noticed that the body feels the cold. You know, the hands, the almost the pads on the fingers. You can feel like even to that level. It's the pads on the fingers that feel the cold. And I would notice that I was aware of the body feeling the cold. And for me, at this time, back in April of 2012, this was new. This was a new contemplative experience, because before then I would have said, I feel the cold, but I don't. The body feels the cold, and I am able to observe, be aware of the body feeling the cold. And one thing that has changed for me since I've played this game many, many times since then. This was just when I first started playing the game. One thing that's changed for me is, I don't get physically cold in the way that I used to. It's more like, you know, if I'm outside and it's a chilly day and I don't have on a jacket, it's more like I notice the skin feels the cold rather than I feel the cold. It's a completely different experience. It's a detached experience. So I've become very, very aware that the body feels, sees, hears, smells, what am I missing, tastes. But I do this by watching very, very slowly, watching these sensory experiences. And as I watch these sensory experiences very slowly and become very clear on what I am and what the body is and what's experiencing the world, I become very, very aware of the relationship between the body and the world, where I can at least say that I know for a fact. Because you know, sometimes when we're reading this stuff, it's stuff that we've read before, right? But to say we know it for a fact, many of you guys are saying in your journals, this is over my head, this is not my experience, right? But by contemplating and paying attention to what's experiencing the world, I can say that I know for a fact that the body experiences the world. And if there was no body, there would be no experience of the world. Like, I've at least made that connection. I've verified that connection through my own observation, my own contemplation, not just reading others, through playing these sensory games. So I am very, very certain that the body and the world go together, which means either they are both real or they are both unreal. I can at least narrow it down to that, you know, that they definitely go together, that I, existence, would have no experience of a world if I didn't also have an experience of a body. And then the other part of that that I've played with, which we played with last week and which Nancy was just now talking about in the post I read. Remember last week I had you guys pretend like you can't see, you can't hear, you can't smell, you can't taste, you can't touch. Pretend like all of your senses are taken away. And I asked you, are you aware of even the body? You know, are you aware of a world? And the answer is no. But are you aware that you are? And the answer was still yes. So just like we can verify that the that the body and the world go together. Whatever they are, they both are, because they go together. We can also verify that existence isn't a part, doesn't have to be a part of that, right? Existence is on its own. You don't need the body or the world to verify existence, your isness. So to me, these contemplations are pretty important. I think that's all I want to say about that. Does anybody else want to say anything before I move on to the next one that we're going to look at?
Just go for
one reason that. Oh, go. Yeah. Because I can't see everybody. I can only see a few people. Go for it, Ron.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It sounds good to hear you. Are you home? Yeah, you are.
I got home last night. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks. One of the things in kind of preparing myself and developing more and more separation and desensitization to the eye and the body and the feeling for me has been the choice of words that I use. I am extremely careful about not saying I feel something or I sense something. I'll say my body is exhibiting certain signs. Or the body, not my body, the body. And I'll even, use Nisargadatta as the food body named, labeled around rates, is exhibiting this. But, and that seems to have been helpful to me. And I just think that, and maybe it's just me, that if I don't change the choice of words that I use, that I'll still kind of hang on, they'll be more like the Velcro of hanging on to that pairing that that I'm trying to relieve myself from.
Yeah, and the pairing again is the pairing of the eye with the body, right? That's yes. The pairing you want to relieve yourself of. Yeah. Anybody else? And again, if I can only see four people at a time, one of which is me, so it means three people. So if anybody else wants to share, please just speak up. All right. So I think one reason I wanted to go into my journal is because I was doing these types of contemplations, these playing games types of contemplations, just trying to verify for myself, how far can I go in my own experience of seeing if what these guys are saying is true or not. I didn't want to fall into just blindly believing them. I wanted to go as far as I could. And certainly, I cannot say that I have gone so far as to say, oh my gosh, there's no world. But I can see that there, without a body, there's no world. I can see that there can be no body, no world, and still be existence. Like, these are things I have verified, right, through playing these games. Let's see which one I want to go look at next. 367 says, it is the mind that creates the body by mere thoughts. It is the mind that creates the body by mere thoughts. So my journal says, we've been asked to be honest beyond the human definition of honesty. And that's just something that happened earlier in my own journal. We've been asked to be honest beyond the human definition of honesty. Inquire into what is absolutely known by direct experience and distinguish between that reality and mere belief. Since being given this assignment, the question in my mind has been, don't I directly experience the world? However, through contemplation of these last few quotes, I see that it is the body that directly experiences the world. I accept the premise that if the body is imagination, its direct experience does not confirm reality. This shifts the question. The question is no longer, do I directly experience the world? The question is now, do I directly experience the body? Right? So I told you already that in playing my games, I could tell that actually I don't feel the cold. It's the hands, and even more specifically, it's the pads. Now, when you really pause and look, you can even tell that it's the pads on the hands that are experiencing the cold, and I'm just able to observe, to see, to be aware of what they feel. But what about a bellyache, gas, you know? What about a headache? What about a sore back? You know, that's, the water is outside of the body and the hands are experiencing it through the five senses. But what about the body itself? Do I directly experience the body? And so that's what this question now shifted to. What am I and do I directly experience a body? So this requires, unfortunately, I just ate, so I have a full tummy and I can feel my pants, you know, the belt on the pants kind of pushing against the belly. So I have a sensation here that I can play with. So what I do is I close my eyes, first of all, and just kind of relax for a moment. And then I just allow my attention to shift to that feeling of being full, that feeling of the pants belt line across the belly, which is a little more full right now. And I just kind of be with that. And then I kind of ask myself, what is experiencing this feeling, this full, tight feeling? And I observe that the body is experiencing itself, and I'm observing the body. It's that same sense of, you know, we call it the sense of touch, and when it's inside, it's not the sense of touch, but it's that same sense of being able to feel something. It's really not any different. It doesn't look any different to me than feeling a glass, feeling this tightness and this fullness. I can see the body experiencing itself. I don't know if any of the rest of you have played with that, if you have anything that you wanted to share. Nancy?
So I went inside also, and I was focusing on my back, or experiencing my back through my body, as I think you were illustrating. So when you say, I am observing my body experiencing my tummy, are you saying I, the observer, is existence? Is it the same? Is it the same?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Ultimately, the answer is no. It takes longer for me to get there. But if I start with, again, noticing this feeling, I can very quickly become aware that I'm aware of the feeling, that I'm the observer of the feeling. Now, this takes longer for me, but I'll see if I can do it here. So I am aware that I observe this feeling. And what I start paying attention to is that awareness, or that observance, or that observer, whatever word you want to use. This is harder for me to do very quickly. I usually take 20, 30 minutes to do this, so I don't know if I can do it so quickly. And so as I start to pay attention to the observer, or the awareness itself, the awareness that's aware of the belly, I start to notice that I am aware of the awareness that's aware of the belly. And so I've actually shifted back another level. And that, at that level, feels, how can I describe it? Non-existent. It's kind of funny. Like the observer still feels like a type of existence. That which is aware of the observer, although clearly it's existing because it's aware of the observer, right? But it doesn't have the feeling of existence. Of, you know, the feeling of existence that most of us are familiar with is almost like an energetic feeling. And this is so thin. It doesn't have that energetic feeling, and so it feels like nothing by comparison. In fact, it reminds me of, I think I still have this on my desktop. It reminds me of what Nisargadatta is saying here in this screenshot that I had to screenshot when I saw it once somewhere. Oh, nope, that's a check to the Colorado Department of Revenue. They said I didn't send them. As you can tell, I did. Let me find the Nisargadatta thing, though. Oh, here it is. Right. Nisargadatta says, I am that which knows that I am. Right? So first, there's the feeling of existence or the feeling of I am. And then at some point, there's this awareness of that existence. He says, that's what I am. I am that which knows that I am. I'm that which knows the I am-ness, which observes the I am-ness, and the I am-ness is what observes the form. But that sense of that prior to existence, I'll call it, which is also still existing, clearly, but it's so empty. I don't get glimpses of that as easily. And they don't last as long. So that's what I perceive as my current target when I go into meditation. My current target is to go beyond the observer to that which is aware of the observer. And it doesn't even occur in every meditation. Sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not in reaching it. Does that answer your question?
I'm not sure. I have to listen to this again. And you went actually deeper or further out than I was talking about.
Okay.
But it was a good experience because I think I went there with you, but I need time to take it all in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and in order to become aware of it, I have to be very, very focused, very quiet, very, very not distracted. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not something I can do quickly during a class, but yeah. So let me go back to this. Where was it? Right here. So again, after I realized that the body experiences the world, I began to play with, do I experience the body? And again, this is just another way of asking, what am I? But instead of, you know, just sitting there going, what am I? I am playing with my experience to find where I am in the experience. And like right now, when I talk about the fullness in my belly and the, you know, the pant belt line touching the belly. All of that tactile feeling, you know, I don't even know if it's all tactile, but all of that feeling is occurring within a region of the body. It's like the body pressing against the body almost. One part of the body pressing, you know, it's all happening within the body. And I am watching it in the exact same way that I was watching this. So what I found is that I don't actually directly experience the body, that I'm observing the experience of the body just like I observe the experience of the world, that there is no difference. And the more one looks at this, the more one begins to realize that that idea that I am the body is not true. Because if I am the body, I would directly experience it. But I'm the observer of the body experiencing itself, the body experiencing whatever is going on in it, right? The body experiences gas pains, not you, right? So let's go on. Let's see, what did I want to look at next? Unless anybody else has something they want to say first.
Go for it, Cheryl.
Yeah. Regina.
Go for it. Yes.
So is it the same as observing what is going on in the world? Like my
it
latest
can
contemplation.
Be. Yeah, go ahead and talk about your latest contemplation.
Well, that, you know, I'm being very purposeful in watching what is appearing to be happening in the world, and watching any reaction, any comment, any inner dialogue, anything that's going on with my personal way of viewing as the observer what is going on. So is it similar? Are you describing? Yeah, that's my question.
Well, I can only speak from my own experience, but based on your words and hearing that through my experience, I'm going to say it's not the same. Because when I am doing what you're describing, when I am watching the world, watching my mind, being non-reactive, that is actually the mind doing that. You could call it the right mind, using the language of the Course, but that's the mind. And the reason I say that's the mind is because there's thought and intention there. And in pure awareness, there's no thought and no intention. And the right mind does still help us to wake up, but it is still mind. Right? So mind is paying attention to itself, just like the body is experiencing itself. Mind is paying attention to itself and having right-minded thoughts about itself. The observer, if you really want to get to the observer, and it's easier to play with the body first, to be honest. The mind is more challenging. But if you play with the body and start noticing the observer there, there's no intention, there's no thought, it's just watching. You will then notice there's also an observer that observes the mind, even the right mind. And that's what I'm talking about as the observer. So it's back a little further from that. Yeah. And, I remember the day that I first became aware of the, I'm going to call it the neutral observer of the mind. I feel like I might have told this story before. But I was having an ego attack. You know, there was a lot of fear going on for an irrational reason. But there was a lot of fear going on. And the right mind was coaching, breathe, practice rest, accept, and trust, right? The right mind was doing its coaching and managing the situation. And all of a sudden, I became aware that I was watching both the wrong mind and the right mind. I wasn't either. That's the observer. You got it? Okay. So it's funny because we now have three levels of observer. We have the right mind, which is mind observer of mind. We have the neutral observer, which can observe even the right mind. And then we have that background of awareness, which observes the observer. The foreground, we'll call it the foreground of awareness. You know, so it's really kind of interesting. That's why we just have to keep getting more and more and more subtle. And what I have not experienced yet is what anything that I would call infinite awareness, which is a term that is used. So there must be another back that I haven't fallen into yet, because I wouldn't describe anything I've found. I wouldn't use the word infinite. Right? I can't validate that it's infinite. So there must be something else where that's certain. Okay, so 370, I think, is where I wanted to go next. So first, let's look at the book. The physical body is nothing but the fruit of the fancy of the mind. The physical body is not an existential fact independent of the mind. So I'm going to go to 370. I think I'll just pop this way. If thought thinks thought, body, world, all separate and distinct from one another, thought sees thought, body, world, all separate and distinct from one another. Old thought does not need to become new thought, taught and learned, in order to see truly. Truth is natural and known without thought. To see clearly, clear away all thought. So what I'm telling myself here is, I don't need to see without separation. Like, that's natural, right? The only reason I see separation is because thought thinks in separation. Thought thinks mind is one thing, body is another thing, world is another thing. And that's just simplifying it, because obviously within the world, there's many other things, right? But I'm saying that it can't be that I have to learn to see truly. Otherwise, it wouldn't be true if I had to learn it. It should be natural. So then I go into an inquiry. Do I directly experience a body? So I'm still looking at this. I seem to experience a body when I think about body or put attention on body, when there is no thought of body and no attention on body, is body experienced? Now, I won't read this. I'll just go ahead and tell you what it says rather than reading it. Basically, what I did when I contemplated this is I realized it's like intuitively I realized that there are times when maybe I'm even just focused on work, completely focused on work, and so focused on work that in that moment, I literally have no experience of a body. But the reason I don't notice that I have no experience of a body is because I'm not thinking about the body. I'm not looking to see if I'm having an experience of the body. But I also could not say for sure in those moments when I'm having no experience of a body. How do I say this? I could not say that there is no body just because I'm not having an experience of it. I can say when the attention is not on it, I don't experience it. But I can't say that there's no body. You know, like if you watch a television show on quantum physics, for example, they will tell you that when you aren't experiencing it, it literally isn't there. That in order for something to appear, the observer has to be paying attention to it. But what I found is that could be true. But I cannot verify that's true. The only thing that I can verify is I'm not experiencing it if I don't have attention on it. That in order to experience something, I have to put attention on it, right? And if I don't put attention on it, I don't experience it. For instance, just a moment ago, I wasn't experiencing whatever's outside that window. All of my attention was on you. The second I had the thought of the window, I looked and I have an experience of it. Is it there when I'm not having an experience of it? I can't say. Okay, so again, what's happening here, you'll notice the last paragraph says, with honesty beyond human honesty, what is absolutely known through direct experience. What is known is that when there is a thought of body or attention on body, body is experienced. But I cannot be absolutely certain about the times when there is no thought on the body or no attention on the body. I can't tell you what's, you know, if I'm not aware of something, I can't tell you if it's there or not. And the only reason I'm sharing this with you is because, again, what I am attempting to do through my contemplation is to see what I can verify for myself and not fall into believing anything. Right? The only thing that I could verify for myself at this point was that in order for me to experience something, it requires attention. Without attention, I can't experience it. That's how far I went on this. Now, let's see. I think I went a little farther. Let's see where we come to next as I contemplated more. 371, I guess. We'll quit looking at the seven steps because we're running out of time. We'll just look at my contemplations. So when I went to 371, as I contemplated this more deeply, I realized that the thought of body is a background thought. It's a deeply held belief. So to some degree, the thought is always present, right? Therefore, to some degree, there is always some experience of the body. However, this experience can strengthen or fade based on my present moment focus and attention. So as I went into this more deeply, I realized the reason I could not fully verify whether there is or there is not a body is because I am, you could call it, harnessed with a basic I am the body belief, right? And as long as that basic I am the body belief is there, I can't have a direct experience of no body, right? So what this told me is exactly what the quotes are saying is true. What the quotes are saying is the mind, or at least it makes it more plausible that it's true. The quotes are saying that the mind makes the body. And at least what I found out in my own direct investigation is that I can't verify that there is no body because I have an always running background thought that I'm the body. That is a connection between mind and body. Do you see? That I verified through my own investigation. It's not a perfect, you know, it's not like an all the way there connection. Like I can't say to you, I know for a fact that the mind creates the body. But I can say to you, I am aware of the fact that I can't verify there is no body. Because I do have this identification with the body. In other words, I can verify that there's a connection between mind and body here that may prohibit me from being able to verify that there is no body. And that's moving in the direction of what these quotes are saying in a non-believing way, in a personal investigation, personal inquiry way. Let's see, 374. And again, I call all of this stuff playing games. It's a different type of contemplation, right? Let's see, 374 says, the body is a representation of a misunderstanding about what I am. To experience the body and call it me is to define a portion of total experience as having core importance. Okay, I'm going to just stop there because I know what this is. I remember this contemplation now, which is all I need. So as I contemplated more, I'm contemplating again, you know, What do I directly experience? What am I? And as I'm looking at this deeper and deeper, again, I've noticed that I don't experience the cold glass. I don't experience the body, the feelings in the body. I'm aware of these things. I began to notice, well, I'm aware of the sight of this pillow, right? I'm aware of the sound of my mother's television in the next room. And I began to really contemplate all the different things that I was aware of in the same way. And then I began to ask, wait a minute, if I'm aware of this pillow and I'm aware of the feeling of fullness in the belly, why do I say this is me and this is just a pillow? Like, I began to notice that the awareness is the same awareness. Right? The awareness that's aware of the pillow and the awareness that's aware of the fullness in the body is clearly what I am. And it isn't actually more intimately aware of the body when you really look than it is of the pillow. It's aware of the body through the sense of touch or feeling. And it's aware of the pillow, if I'm not touching it, through sight. But there isn't a more intimate connection with this. It's only the mind thought, I, that has a more intimate connection with this. It's not awareness. And so I began to notice that awareness has no identification with the body in it. That it's the mind that picks this out and makes this of core importance, makes this body more important than this pillow. And this is very helpful because this begins to go after the I am the body belief. You know, I noticed that, again, there's an I am the body belief, which is why I cannot verify that the body is not real. You know, I can't verify the body is not real when I think I am the body, you know, but this allows me to begin to question that I am the body belief. But again, you have to get very subtle. You do these things very slowly. You know, you sit and pay attention to, for example, to a feeling in the belly. And you know, I'm going to do it more quickly now just because we're out of time. You know, you'll want to take several minutes to do this. Sit and pay attention to a feeling in the body. And then begin to notice that I am aware of that feeling. That feeling is like an object, right? I am aware of the object of this feeling. And then open my eyes and look at a pillow. And notice I'm aware of the object of a pillow. I'm aware of the object of feeling. I'm aware of the object of sight. There's no difference. And the more you play with these things, then the more that brings into question, wait a minute. So this I am the body thing, is this a fact or is this just a thought? You know, it allows you to start questioning it from what I would call a very legitimate experience of your own direct experience. Because you have just experienced for yourself that this feeling in the belly is an object that you're aware of. The pillow is an object that you're aware of. What says they're different? Thought. The only thing that says they're different is thought, right? And again, I'm moving through this pretty quickly. I encourage you guys to go back and play these games yourself. Again, it's a different kind of contemplation. And I want to introduce you to this type of contemplation because we're in this section that's saying the world is not real, the body is not real. And we don't want to just keep writing the world is not real, the body is not real, without playing games that helps us to move in the direction of verifying whether or not these guys are telling the truth or not. Right? What can you find out for yourself? Can you at least find out that what they're saying is plausible from your own direct experience? Rather than just continuing to type, this is beyond my experience, right? Which many of you have typed. Let's see what else we have here. 375. Wisdom knows the body is not the self. Wisdom is not affected by changes in the body's apparent condition or circumstance. Wisdom is as constant as itself. Now, wisdom here, I'm not referring to the right mind, although sometimes the right mind is called wisdom. Here, what I am referring to is I'm pausing to make sure I'm telling the truth. I am referring to the foreground of awareness, not the mind, not attention, but also not that background, which would also be even wiser. But I'm referring more to that observer, that which is aware of the feeling in the belly, right? I'm calling that wisdom. And the reason I'm calling that wisdom is because when I'm aware of that, I'm aware that it has no confusion. It does not think it's the body, right? It does not think it's mind. It doesn't have those thoughts. It has no identification. It has no thought in it. And so I'm calling it wisdom. And I'm saying that it knows the body is not the self. If you get quiet enough to notice that which is still you, but you know, to be in that position, in that moment, you know you're not the body. In that moment, you see the body as an object that you are aware of, right? And also, if the body is having pain, like let's say my fullness did turn to gas, right? And I started having belly pains. If I move into the observer and I watch the pain, it's obvious as the nose on your face, the observer isn't experiencing pain. The observer never experiences any kind of pain. It's the body, the belly, that's experiencing the pain, right? So what this is pointing at, again, from my own experience, is that I know, and that's why I'm calling it wisdom, I know that the body is not what I am. When I'm looking with awareness instead of thinking with mind. There's a big difference in looking with awareness and thinking with mind, right? Which again tends to point out from my own investigation, from my own direct experience, that there's a direct connection between mind and the belief that I'm a body. It has nothing to do with awareness. You know, people often tell us when you were born, you didn't know you were a body. Well, again, that's not anything I can verify because I don't remember. You know, I mean, I believe them to a point, but, you know, I cannot verify when I was born whether I thought I was a body or not. I just don't remember. But I can verify that when I shift into the position of observer, I know I'm not a body. I can verify that. The only time I think I'm a body is when I'm identified with thought. And in that way, I can also verify that I'm not actually directly identified with the body. What I'm really identified with is thought. I'm identified with a thought that says I'm the body and I believe it. If it wasn't for the thought, I couldn't think I was a body, even with the body here. Even, you know, going to the bathroom, taking showers, going to the doctor, you know, having a headache, having a belly. Without a thought, I couldn't think I'm a body. I would just know that I have a constant awareness of this. That somehow that's a part of this experience. Wisdom knows it's not the body. Let's see, we have 4 minutes left. What else did I have here? 377. Okay. Yeah, thought and illusion are one. Attachment to thought is attachment to illusion. Okay, again, I'm talking about stuff that I looked at. So I've already verified now that observer, awareness, does not at all think it's the body. In fact, it knows it's not. Like when I shift into awareness and I'm watching the body, I know I'm not the body. But I also know that when I'm involved with mine, I think I am the body again, right? Well, then I started really paying attention to thought, paying close attention to thought. And if you pay attention to thought for even one day, it comes up with so many scenarios, so many stories, so many, you know, arguments, right? It'll argue one side of a fantasy and then argue the other side of a fantasy, you know, like this will be the greatest thing in the world. Oh, but then you'll have all these problems. And it becomes clear, if you pay any attention to thought, that thought is the realm of illusion or fantasy. So if I can verify, now think about this, guys, if I can verify from my own experience that thought is the realm of illusion or fantasy, and I can also verify that the only way I identify with the body is if I'm identified with thought, I have just verified from my own experience that it's an illusion or a fantasy that I am the body. Can you follow that logic? I have verified for myself that the only time I think I'm a body is when I've identified with thought. I verified for myself that thought is an illusory or fantasy realm. Therefore, logic or reason would have to conclude that the idea that I am the body is a mental illusion. And that's what these quotes are saying. But I verified it by my own step-by-step investigation. Right? We only have 1 minute left. Let's see what else we have here. Next was 378. Now, this one's pretty long. Oh, this is talking about, now that I have realized all of this, the next logical conclusion is I need to begin to devalue the idea that I am this body. And this is kind of what Ron was talking about, watching his language, right? That's devaluing the idea that I am this body. Instead of saying my body, I say the body. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, I have a bellyache, I say the body has a bellyache, right? I need to begin to devalue this idea. I also need to devalue mind, because mind is, I've identified the culprit. So I need to devalue mind, which means I need to quit giving value to thoughts. Right? I need to begin, if I do not begin to devalue mind and devalue body, and this doesn't mean disrespect. It just means start stepping back from the identification with. Start stepping back from the identification with mind, which is also the identification with body. I've seen that it's not me. I've seen that I only think it's me. Yet those habits are still there. One time seeing isn't enough. I need to begin a daily practice, a living from the practice of devaluing my identification with thought and mind, and thought and body. And I'll stop sharing there. So what I encourage you guys to do as you go through these quotes is start looking for ways that you can play games to find out if what these guys are saying is true or not. You know, just start wherever you start. You know, I've given you some examples of games you can play for. Don't believe me either. Don't believe that you're observing the hands feeling the cold. You know, go grab an ice cube and play with it. You know, find out for yourself. Because that's what this path is all about. It's about the direct experience. It's not about believing anyone. And yeah, that's it. Anybody have anything else they want to say in closing? All right, then. You guys have a wonderful week. And I'll see you all around. Thanks, Don, for the couple extra minutes.